We're going to the theater, and a play called Black Superhero Magic Mama by Inda Craig Galvan. Every word in the title of that play counts in understanding what it's about. A black mother whose teenage son is killed by a police officer and turns to the magic of being a comic book superhero in order to cope with the grind of her grief and a drumbeat of exploitation by the media and expectations of her from a grieving community. Now, I'm not giving anything away by telling you that her son Tremarian dies. It's the basis for the play, as is the comic book superhero he and his friend Flat Joe have created. Here is Tremarian and Flat Joe, played by Joshua Robinson and Anderson Stinson III, debating the praiseworthiness of superheroes who don't have magical powers, like flying, versus those who do.
If you're that powerful and you choose to help people instead of run away, that's admirable. You don't abandon people. You don't leave. You use your powers to help all of
the stupid people.
I was going to say people. I don't even know what I'm talking about no more. Finish your list. I got to get out of here before your mom starts shading me just for being here.
Hey, I'm sorry about that, man.
Low key, I think she liked me.
She don't like you.
Nah, she only likes her baby. Man, your mom loses her mind if something ever happened to you. But hey, stick with me. I'll protect you.
And of course, in this work by Inda Craig Galvan, Sabrina does lose her mind, the mother, escaping into a world where she is the star of Tamarian's comic book. But through that, she finds her strength again. Monica White Ndunu is director of Black Superhero Magic Mama, a production of Company One with the American Repertory Theater, the Boston Public Library, and Boston Comics in Color Festival. She's also a professor of theater at Dartmouth College, joins us on the line now. Monica, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So, having seen the play, it seems to me that there is nothing about it, Monica, that is not a profound and emotional undertaking. So, why did you want to do it?
Well, for several reasons. Number one, I'm a huge fan of Summer L. Williams, one of the co-founders of Company One. And when she reached out to me about the possibility of directing the play, and she sent me a copy of the script, and I read it, and normally, if I read something and if my gut doesn't tell me to do it, I don't do it, because I believe that we're all meant to tell stories, particular stories, or contribute to the telling of stories. And not everything that makes its way to me is something that I'm supposed to do, you know? So when I read this particular script, and it really resonated with me, because I'm also a mother, and having experienced, you know, what it is to be a Black child in a society that devalues Black children, what it is to be a Black woman in a society that devalues Black people and women and being, you know, both, and being a mother, this just really resonated with me, how there are certain expectations that Black women in particular are expected to live up to without the consideration of everything that we also have to contend with on a day-to-day basis.
There is so much reframing in this play, Monica, how we tell Black stories, how we tell stories about Black boys, how we tell superhero stories, how we tell women's stories, even how we produce on a stage. There are multimedia aspects to this. There's Black comic book figures brought forward. Mm-hmm. Everything seems like a reframe. And I felt in watching it, so many decisions you had to make about how to bring all the pieces of this story forward. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I would just, first of all, I'm really grateful to Inda for writing such a beautiful script. I think the foundation of the script that she wrote is really what guided me in the process. And also just a shout out to my dramaturgy team, Alana, Regine, and Africa, who did a brilliant job in terms of the research for this project, and, you know, just a lot of support generally in the creation of the piece, and all of the designers and technicians it's really a collective effort. You know, generally the director will provide a vision based on the script and, you know, work with the actors to execute that, along with working with the designers and all of the folks who make up the team. And so for me, again, I was kind of guided by my gut impulse in terms of this is a story that I know I'm supposed to be a part of, and then just bringing my own sensibilities into it. One of the key elements of the vision that we talked about quite a lot throughout the process is the work of Dr. Linda James Myers, a Black psychologist, who she's basically outlined this concept, an Afrocentric cultural worldview, or an optimal worldview, which she's used to describe the ways in which people of African descent and often indigenous communities around the world experience, you know, time and actually themselves and one another. And so within that worldview, it acknowledges that, you know, we don't experience time as linear and as it happens to be articulated in a Eurocentric framework, that for us, time is more cyclical, more like a spiral. And so, and for me, I often describe it as a moving spiral that can collapse in on itself and expand, which is why, you know, when people tell us that we should, you know, just get over slavery, well, one of the reasons we can't just get over slavery is because for us, it's still happening. We can still see how that same framework is operating in our day-to-day experiences. Additionally, Myers talks about an African concept of self. And in this concept of self, we don't see ourselves as individuals that are distinct from our ancestors or our families and communities, or even those who haven't been born yet. Within that concept of self, we're all of that. And so one of the ways I describe it is that when you see me walk into a room, entire nations are entering with me, because I'm not just by myself. I'm connected to all of those, you know, whether you see them or not. So that's guided the vision of the overall project.
I want to pick up several threads there. And to do that, I'm going to give us a little more sound from the play. And this is Sabrina Jackson, played by Ramona Lisa Alexander, talking with her son Tremarian, again played by Joshua Robinson. And this is their this is hard stuff, folks. I want to make it clear that we're talking about grief and loss, but this is their last interaction together, the last time she sees him.
Oh boy, come on, let's go.
You the one wanted to have the heart to heart.
Watch your mouth.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. No, honey, you can put that t-shirt on later. We don't have time for it now.
Ma, it's my lucky t-shirt. Every trophy I've won, I've always worn it.
Okay, I know, baby. But just put it in your bag. Maybe you could put it on when I drop you off with Coach Brackett. Let's go. Name the prime minister. Name the Maasai warrior who was prime minister of Tanzania.
Edward Sokoine.
Ooh, that's my boy!
It is so hard to see the mundaneness of that, right? And realize it's her last moment. And then she goes on, in the end, the only way she can process is to become a Maasai warrior herself, one that her son and his friend had created in a comic book world of their own. So it is this moving between two worlds or many worlds and back and forth in time. We don't have a lot of time together left, but I think in the time I do, I want to talk about the challenges for somebody like Ramona Lisa Alexander in playing this role, and you as a mother in directing this and being present for this story over and over again. I mean, I have a teenage boy. I'm white. And it was a gut punch that stayed with me the rest of the day to watch it once.
Yes. I cannot speak for Ramona Lisa's experience. I can speak to the beauty and brilliance and grace that she brings to her portrayal of this mother's experience, because she's also a mother, as am I, as is Enda. And I think that's part of what has made it such an incredible journey in thinking about, actually, Regine had mentioned this image in one of Beyonce's videos that shows all of the mothers who have lost their sons, Trayvon Martin's mother, with Jordan Davis's mother, and Tamir Rice's mother, like all these mothers who are part of this sorority that none of us want to be a part of, that this sisterhood of having lost a son in this way. And I think the thing that gets me through is knowing that these are important. This is an important story to tell, to give voice to those who don't have this particular platform to use to share their story. But also because this play is crafted with its healing built into the play. And mm-hmm. so while we have to face, you know, the hazards of living while Black, you know, in the narrative itself, it also demonstrates pathways to healing and how much we need one another in order to do that.
And that is Monica White Ndunu, director of the play Black Superhero Magic Mama, which is currently showing at Boston Public Library's Central Library in Copley Square through May 21st. Thank you so much for joining us, Monica.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we turn now to two more people associated with the production. Alana Brownstein is the director of new work at Company One and co-dramaturg for the play, and Lydia Grafe, a teaching artist who works with the Boston Public Schools to bring the experience of and lessons from Black Superhero Magic Mama into the classroom. Ilana, Lydia, thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I want to, in our time, really focus on bringing this to the schools. I think you were key in selecting the play, figuring out how to put it on. Ilana, talk about the desire to expand the audience and expand the experience of this beyond, I don't want to say just the stage, because the stage is the central piece, but into education as well.
Absolutely. So when we program our seasons at Company One Theater, we are often thinking about not just what happens on the stage, but where the work and the themes of the work meet our communities, our multiple communities. And one of our core communities that we are intersecting with all the time is the Boston Public School System. We work with 9 different schools, placing teaching artists in those schools. And one of the goals of that program, which is called Stage One, is to train young people as civically engaged artists and artistically engaged citizens. And so though we don't choose our plays because we think they're perfect for high school students, for instance, we are really thoughtful about anything that we decide to produce. How is it going to be translated through our teaching artists and through our partnership to the students who are going to meet the play through any number of ways, whether that's student matinees, whether that's the ways that the teaching artists bring the material into the classroom, or whether that's through educator night outs, where we train educators who come to the shows how to bring the material back into their classrooms with curriculum guides and other kinds of support.
So flesh that out for us now, Lydia, as a teaching artist. How are you, and I know you've taught the play before, how are you thinking about both the material, what are you using to bring this into the classroom, and when does the classroom see the show, and how will that work?
I work at Boston Adult Technical Academy, and this is an alternative public school through BPS for 18 to 22-year-olds. And the majority of our students have either had interrupted education or recent immigrants, and the majority are English language learners. So currently we are working on a playwriting unit. And through Stage One, my focus is in my classrooms is really building community and exploring identity and the importance and as Monica had mentioned, the healing that can happen through storytelling. And we are going to see the play. I'm taking the entire school, which is very exciting. And we're going to see it on Friday of this week, May 6th. And something that we're working on in our playwriting units is the idea of reframing, as you had mentioned, and that we sometimes are the stories or the heroes of our own stories. And the importance of telling your own story, because someone might tell it for you, or someone has written a story about you or your community. And the importance of being able to tell your story yourself is, I think, a huge skill. The reason, and one of the biggest reasons we are taking students to see these shows is first of all, they get to have a theatrical experience, which they may have not had before, and also to see their stories their stories reflected on a stage. Yeah. And to know this is something that's also possible for a career, right? You can be a storyteller, and that might be through visual art, through acting, through directing, any sort of production. And so it really there's a lot of ways to tell a story. And
I'd like to pick that up there, Lydia, if you don't mind. Excuse me for interrupting, but you've said a couple of things that I want to bring back to Alana in terms of thinking about how to tell this story on the stage, mindful of the broad range of audiences who might see it. And there is visual art, and there is sound, and there is acting and directing. There's even breaking of the fourth wall, where the characters become themselves as actors again and talk to you about why the playwright wrote the play. So as you think about all of these pieces, what is your stewardship, as a dramaturg, as the new projects director? I know that's not exactly technically the right title, but as, the new projects director, to think about bringing something like this to the stage?
Yeah, it's this is core on how we operate. So Company One's mission is to create community at the intersection of art and social change. So we are never programming a play or producing a play just because we like the play, although we do like all the plays we produce.
One would hope.
We're really thinking about, like, is this a story that Boston needs right now? And how and why is that need going to be fulfilled by this play? And so when we decide to kind of bring the play to audiences and to communities who may or may not come see the play, right? So it's not just the audiences who we're speaking with. We are thinking a lot about how they might meet the material in the space itself. So one of the things we've been very careful about is, as you mentioned at the beginning of your chat with Monica, the material is really, really activating for a lot of people and for a lot of different reasons. It can cause our nervous systems to suddenly feel overwhelmed with all kinds of feelings. And so because we have a relationship with some community partners who specialize in trauma-informed care, we've been able to design not only a rehearsal and production process for our team, but also an audience care process that is trauma-informed. And that goes for everybody who comes, whether we're talking about the students who are going to come for the matinees, or we're talking about folks who wander in from the Boston Public Library because they see something happening and it's free, so it's accessible to them, or whether it's people who buy tickets in advance. We've created a system within the lobby and within the space itself that is specifically designed to care for folks who might feel activated by the material, and then to be able to come back to it in a way that is healthy for them. So for us, like, when we choose how to do our work, we're really thinking about not just the material and the themes and the stories, but also what is the experience of this like? We did a series of pop-up tours around Boston Public Library branches, bringing some of the themes to audiences, especially families and young children. So we didn't perform the play for them, but we brought materials and activities with the themes so folks could consider them. And we also brought healing arts with us too, because we know it's an activating content.
All right, that is Alana Brownstein. Alana is the director of new work at Company One and co-dramaturg on Black Superhero Magic Mama. And Lydia Graef, a teaching artist at Company One. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah.